bond from Sock and Run Homeowners Association, and that's all.
How much should we have to take out of the regular fund to make our $15,000 to the ambulance? Or we haven't done it yet?
Yes, I did it. I forwarded $15,000. I mean, it was $10,000, and I had to take $5,000 from the regular account to make it full $15,000 for the first quarter.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you need a transfer?
Yes, $20,000.
Make a motion to approve the transfer of $20,000 from the Pliggett general account to the MBT checking account to pay the bills.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed. This time I'd like to amend our agenda to advertise for our road salt bid for 500 ton of road salt for next year, for this year.
He said he wants to. He made a motion to amend the agenda to add the road salt bid.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Roadmasters report. Last couple of weeks, we've been trying to catch up on some of the potholes and stuff. This winter took a real tally on the roads with the freezing and thawing. We did manage to get Shakopee Road, the dirt portion of it, completely patched over for trout season, which opened last Saturday. Because we get an awful lot of traffic going up to Lily Pond. I don't know what it looks like after the Saturday's traffic. There was a lot of cars up there when I was there. So, well, we are working on to it, but like I said, the roads took a beating this year. Winter was hard on, with all these small storms of freezing and thawing. And it just seems like there's just more and more traffic every day. I mean, I'm out there in the middle of my plowing, and there's cars passing us. It's just crazy. So, we are working on to it. I'm not going to be able to do any paving this year because money's low, and I don't really have any idea. I'm pretty sure, though, the cost of paving is going to be very high this year because of the way oil's going up, and that's one of the biggest things, the price of oil that makes the pavement.
I really think that we should look at what will be the highest priority going into next year from what we can tell now and apply to the CFA for the multimodal before July 31st so we can...
We'll get out there and do a road check, see what road we think is the worst.
And then get PennDOT to do an estimate for us so that we can use that.
Yep. Yep. We're moving on. Zoning.
Since the last meeting, 4 permits were issued for a carport, a pool, farmer's market, and food truck. That's all.
Public participation. Anybody?
We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm here out of interest.
You need to get up
the
mic.
The folks online can't hear you if you're not on mic.
Just state your name.
I'm Margaret Harris. I'm here out of interest regarding the possible permit regarding the AutoZone construction, and just out of interest as to the progress that's being made.
That is on the agenda.
And I live at 5D Milford Town Green Lane.
That's on the agenda.
Thanks, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
My name is Henry Mocko, M-O-C-K-O. I live at 5C Milford Town Green Lane. It's a townhouse, and I live next door. And I don't want the AutoZone to be built on the property. I want the application to be denied. As Mr. Gary Williams, if I quote you, there's a lot of traffic already. We don't need more traffic. We don't need another auto parts store because there's many down the road. So it's a Blair in a green pasture. It's like a comic book colors. I don't want an AutoZone in my backyard. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Tony, before we go forward, Could you just give a little municipal planning code 101 on what the supervisor's abilities are pertaining to an application like this?
Sure, sure. And just for the supervisor's benefit, both Mr. Mockel and Mrs. Harris were at the planning commission meeting earlier this month, and at the end of last month. But basically, the applicant in this case, AutoZone, has made an application for what's called a conditional use. The conditional use under the zoning ordinance is a use that's permitted in that zone. So if you were to look at the ordinance, you would see a number of uses that are permitted by right, and there are those that are permitted as conditional uses, meaning with conditions. The applicant has the burden of going forward and meeting the minimum standards of the ordinance, and I think over the past, Mr. Dadano was on, I don't want to say 2.5 years, but it's a little over 2 years since this project started with the first application. So we've been going back and forth from the planning commission with the applicant over that 2 year period to make sure that all of the standards of the ordinance are met. Now, there are some items, once the standards of the ordinance are met, the use itself as a permitted use would be with at the discretion of the Board of Supervisors with conditions. Now, the Planning Commission has to review all these applications. They review not only before a conditional use, but also land development. And the Planning Commission has spent a substantial amount of time in going through all these and in determining that they had met the conditions of the ordinance and had recommended an approval. Now, there were a number of people who were at our conditional use hearing. There were a number of residents that were at the Planning Commission meeting. And I think the chief concern at that point, with all due respect to Mr. Marco, you basically don't want it at all. But the residents were concerned who attended the meeting about what's going to happen to these trees that are maybe on this property, maybe on the community association property. And I think the applicant at the planning commission meeting submitted a compromise which I thought was fair and reasonable in light of your concerns regarding the trees, and also their concerns where they don't want to go to spend any money to cut a tree down that doesn't need to be cut down. So, and that compromise was that a certified arborist would be hired, that the arborist would look at the property line separating the community association from the proposed AutoZone, and that the arborist would determine whether a tree needed to be cut or not. There was also some concern about lighting, and I think the applicant has addressed the lighting concern, because the lights, as I understand it, are toward the front of the property, not to the rear of the property. And Mr. D'Angelo is here, and he can explain that a little forward later, but the Board of Supervisors, once that has been met, once all of the minimum standards have been met, are then able to impose conditions. And if you recall from the conditional use hearing, we imposed a great number of conditions, and a lot of them were with respect to landscaping and also other permits that were needed from the state in order for this project to become a reality. And I think we listed 15 different conditions, from hours of operation to deliveries to the store only occurring during regular business hours, to refuse collection only during regular business hours, including the demolition of the other buildings that were on the property, because one of the conditions of approval is that the old garage and the two other buildings be demolished before they can start the construction of the AutoZone. Full landscape plans that had to be submitted. They also, I would say, bent a little bit on the concern of the trees. So, but that's, the board now has to determine whether the board is satisfied that they have met the necessary conditions in order to give them a land development approval. And unless there is sufficient evidence to show that somehow this is going to adversely affect the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the township as a whole, then if there's not sufficient evidence of that, the board would be forced to uphold the application.
Which is a land development application, being that the conditional use was already granted.
Zoning has already been granted, now it's the building plan that's at issue. There were items that the fire department required. I think those have all been taken into account by the design, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the developer, I'll let them speak at the appropriate time. But there were many, many concerns about the project that we've discussed over the past 18 to 26 months. And they've now reached the point where the Planning Commission was satisfied that they had met the conditions and recommended approval based on those conditions and the the additional condition regarding the trees. There will be buffer zones, there will be lighting that will only shine upon the property, will not leave the property. All of those things were things that were necessary in order for them to get to this stage.
And to be clear, one of the conditions that was set during the conditional use was to ensure that you all were notified when this land development application was coming before both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors so that you could be here, hear what the developers had to say, and, you know, have your piece, you know, speak your piece about any issues that you think or, you know, haven't been addressed or could be addressed, which is why you got the notices that you got of today's item being on the agenda. And that did not initially happen, and we actually sent it back to the Planning Commission because that condition hadn't been met. So we are watching the conditions to ensure that they are being followed.
Right. And there was a good turnout at the Planning Commission meeting. I know Mrs. Harris, you spoke. I think a couple of other neighbors also spoke. Mr. Marco spoke also. And those concerns regarding the screening and the trees, whether those trees were dead or ready to fall. I know you've had a particular instance, Mrs. Harris, where trees have fallen onto your property. I think that that was a reasonable compromise by both sides to let an arborist take a look at things and move forward from there.
For the information of the public, what happens in general when a municipality denies things that it doesn't really have a basis for denying under the MPC,
okay,
the Municipal Planning Code?
All right. We're a creature of statute. So the state creates municipal bodies like Milford Township, and they declare it to be a second-class township. There is a code, a state code, that we have to follow. The MPC that Supervisor Hendricks mentioned is the municipality's planning code. That is the state code for land development and subdivision of properties. Under that code, we are required to review applications, get recommendations from the Planning Commission. In the case of the conditional use, hold a public hearing, which we did. Listen to all agreed or who may be agreed parties, and then we are to make a ruling based upon the standards in our ordinance. If an applicant meets the standards in our ordinance, then the only way we can deny it is if there is sufficient evidence that there is no that it's a danger to the residents or a danger in general. If we were to deny it without that sufficient evidence, we would be subject to the applicant filing an appeal with the Court of Common Pleas, a land use appeal, and under the state case law, as it currently is, if we did not have a specific item in our ordinance that we can point to as to why we denied it, we would then be responsible, it would be overturned by the court, and we would be responsible for all of their costs and expenses in bringing it to court. So that's basically how that works, which is why we make sure that all specific items are met before we get to the state.
And why we're continuously working on the ordinances. Correct. To make sure that they're up to date and cover things that are new, like we were discussing during the workshop.
The data centers, yeah.
So when is the vote going to be on this application? Fred Weber, Milford Borough.
Hello, Fred.
This application is on the agenda this evening.
It's on the agenda tonight, yeah.
Yes.
I have a question regarding the results of the last meeting. I understood that one of the conditions for a certificate of occupancy would be that a certified arborist would assess the trees that along the shared border. Will we as residents of the community be informed as to the results of that assessment?
Yeah, if the arborist recommends that the tree is either hazardous or a danger to persons or property, it will be removed by the applicant and replaced by a tree of like kind in accordance with the ordinance. Trees that are not deemed by the arborist to be in need of removal shall remain on the site, and a copy of the report is to be provided to the township so that it may be available for inspection by residents. And all trees to be removed shall be done so prior to a CO being issued to AutoZone.
So the arborist is right here.
For the edification of the folks who have come out to hear about this, Tony, when is a certificate of occupancy in the process of a new development? When is that issued?
The certificate of occupancy is not issued until the building is constructed and totally inspected, and it is satisfactory to both the building code official of the township, the zoning officer of the township, and in this case, because there's going to be fire suppression stuff involved, that the fire company would also be out to take a look at it.
Thank you.
The arborist is right here, Tom.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Fran Stofkin, Sequoia Tree Service, certified arborist. I've done work for both the owners of the property as well as the Town Home Association. We've pruned the said trees that are in question before in my tenure. I've reviewed the project and have submitted a bunch of different options. You guys can essentially choose whatever you'd like. The client will do whatever you'd like. But essentially, we would be taking down the large pines that have been a concern of the townhome for a very long time. And within that 25-foot buffer that's outlined on the plans, and then we would try to leave as many of the mid-story trees as both a windbreak and visual appealing. And then, of course, they will also be replanting. I did not do a formal risk assessment, which I've done, but it's on a project that size would be very expensive and a waste of money. They're willing to do whatever you'd like. But most of my recommendations are to take down the big pines, which have been a concern for years, to the townhome.
And I think that's, if I might just add, that's most of the complaints that I heard, both at the conditional use hearing and at the Planning Commission meeting, were those large pines.
Yeah.
Because the branches continue to break and fall and cross the road and on your property. Yep.
You can ask me whatever you'd like, whenever you'd like.
Right. Thanks, Fran.
Thank you, Fran, for coming. Appreciate it.
Anything else under public participation? Now we're moving on to Secretary's report.
Sure, thank you. I received the agenda and minutes for the Road Task Force meeting.
You can stay and hear the rest of the presentation.
Yeah, you can stay if you
and
want.
And ask questions of the folks who are here from AutoZone if you like.
I'll stay.
Okay.
Sorry, Sean. Thanks. Go ahead.
No problem. I received the agenda and minutes for the Road Task Force meeting. I received a change of assessment report from Pike County Assessment Office. I received the revised certificate of liability insurance from the Warrior Wrestling Booster Club. Penn State Extension is offering updated instructor training for the Walk by Faith curriculum. An in-person training will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on April 10 at the Pike County Training Center. I received a warrant for the tax collector to collect the 2026 county taxes. Dave Sanko from PZATS sent the 2026 date strip to display on the PZATS membership plaque. Mr. Mrazinski forwarded the U.S. Census Bureau's 2025 county population estimates. He also informed that Hemlock Grove Road, State Route 30001, just south of Greentown, has been downposted to 10 tons. I received the spring newsletter from the Monroe County Vector Control Program. The Pike County Tax Administrator sent a tax exemption notice for disabled veterans for two properties. I received a Chapter 102 inspection report from the Pike County Conservation District. I received an approval letter for VACTREX LLC from the Department of Environmental Protection. And this afternoon, I received a request from Gate for permission to use the parking lot for a car wash fundraiser on Saturday, August 15. And that's all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Old business. Pike County, Planning Commission recommendation.
And the first one is AutoZone.
Mm-hmm. It's AutoZone.
Although it says extension letter, I am assuming this is actually both the land development plan itself and the extension letter?
The extension, and the extension, as I understand it, runs out on April 23rd, but if the board is inclined to vote tonight, we do have a letter giving us it during 90 days.
It's been around long enough.
But I can't imagine why we would.
Okay, so do we have folks who want to speak about this application?
Yeah.
Kevin? On behalf of the Planning Commission, I assume? On behalf of the Planning Commission, I would assume?
Well, I think for clarification's sake, the gentleman said that a risk assessment would be expensive and not necessary. But I think it was clear with the residents across the way that what they did want and what they were clearly anticipating was a risk assessment of the trees on both sides. Okay. Now, maybe the risk assessment that they get from their own trees may disappoint them with the money that they need to spend, but we can't get involved in that. But right. But to have the perception that we did all of this without thinking about risk assessment would be negligent, in my opinion. I understand from your position that the risk assessment is a liability to you as a professional, too, to a certain degree. I think we appreciate all of those points, but that's the only comment that I have.
Any other comments on the AutoZone land development application?
If I can just clarify the the risk assessment informally would deem to take the trees down, so I'm just trying to save time. Essentially, putting in the AutoZone, opening up a very large wind envelope where trees just haven't been used to the wind coming from the south, perhaps, and then it pushes them over on the townhomes. So that's in a nutshell, that's what would happen. I would recommend them to come down. So I'm just trying to save some time and some money. I can use it as an example. Does anybody remember where Paul Simmons had his office in Dingman's? Nice old real estate man. They put in a park and ride. A month after they cleared the park and ride, a big pine tree landed on his office.
Yeah.
2 months later, a big pine tree landed on his office. 4 months later, another one landed right behind his office because they changed that wind envelope.
All right. So Fred, if I understand what you're saying correctly, then if you were to do a risk assessment, you would probably recommend that all of those trees come down.
Yes. So
Well, we have the applicant here, and clearly it was, I agree with Mr. Stroyan, the condition, as I read it earlier, was that there'd be a recommendation by the arborist if it's either hazardous or dangerous to persons or property, it would be removed and replaced by a tree of like kind. So, does the applicant want to address that?
So, Tom D'Angelo, D'Angelo Consulting, here on behalf of the applicant. If I could just ask a question to Fran. So, it's not a formal risk assessment, it was an informal risk assessment, and your findings is that the tree should all come down?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, I would say, you know, we want to meet the conditions that were imposed, and we plan on doing so. So, if that's the condition, even though it's an informal risk assessment, it's still a risk assessment, he's on record saying it, so, you know, we would take the trees down and replace them in kind.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thanks.
Fran, have you identified, are they all the pine trees? Are they specific trees? Have you marked them? Do you have a document that marks them for the applicant so they can tell?
Fran, if you can come up, because they can't hear you online.
Right, they won't, yeah.
They will not hear you unless you're at the microphone. So,
again, I'm just here informally. A formal risk assessment is a lot more involved than you may think. It takes a lot of time, a lot of money. I would take down all the large pines. Most of them seem to have a lean towards the townhomes anyway. It's been requested that another spruce and a maple out towards the road be taken down as well. We're talking about the trees behind building 4 and 5, I believe, is the other building. And then there would just be select maples and oaks that are along there that I may have to take. It's actually hard to see now. I've walked the property line, but it is very thick. So once I take the pines down, I would just determine what could be some type of hazard, but still trying to leave a windbreak and something visually nice for the townhomes to try to buffer the auto zone.
And the applicant is agreeable to that.
Well, if I may, maybe I could propose, if Fran's agreeable, you know, he could field mark the trees at the start of construction. And then whatever trees are field marked by Fran being the certified arborist, then we would take those trees down. Is that good?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Are all the trees on the applicant's side? None of them are?
I believe they all are.
Well, the only trees that would be the applicant's responsibility would be
the
ones
on that side, yeah.
Right. So the association might want to keep in mind the story that you just told in having the trees on their side reviewed as well, if there is an envelope of windbreak that's, you know, potentially going to cause new issues with the trees on their side, which the applicant doesn't really have the ability to address.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's the issue I've had over the years, is in pruning those trees for the townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
Not their trees. I can only do so much.
Right. Right. So I'm guessing that the plans that we have in front of us that are marked preliminary, these say that they're revisions of December 18th, that they don't include the condition that was just set by the Planning Commission.
Correct.
Regarding the trees or any other. And I'm guessing that they need to have that additional condition identified on the plan, do they not?
Yes.
And that's why we were looking for a report that everyone could actually see which trees were going to come down. That's why I was...
So it could be on the plan?
Sorry, you could do it on the plan, but...
Can we do it that way, or can we mark a general note that says that the arborist will field mark the trees?
We could do a general...
We'll advise the township once the trees have been field marked, so we could send, you know, what that marking is so that the inspector can keep an eye on making sure that they
come
down.
Yeah.
On the landscaping plan.
Yeah, we can even add the
on the general cover, notes.
Yeah, on the general notes. So we would add a note stating that it would be field marked, and then we'll alert the township so that they could be documented and verify that they come down.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem with that.
Didn't we also discuss about checking on the deed to specifically identify the property line to specifically